This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, it is Friday night, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell, as I will guide you through the fastest 2 hours in radio, where we always deliver the biggest and the very best in sports. Many different ways to connect before we get underway tonight. Twitter at eRadio Sports Info, eRadiosports.com, and podcastarena.com. Hanging out with us tonight, Robert Harris. You can give him a follow at Twitter. He's always live there as well, at Robo Harris Jr. Good evening, Robert.
Good evening. Good evening.
Well, listen, we've got a lot to get into tonight. We've got a big NBA show, and one of the teams we've got to focus on, that's your team, and that is the Rockets. Of course, they will be underway tonight against the 76ers, and on Sunday, they're going to head up to Dallas. They'll be at the American Airlines Center against the Mavericks. So give us, since we've got about a month left of the season, where do you see them at this point?
Well, right now, the Rockets are looking pretty good right now. Nobody expected them to be in the top four in the Western Conference, how they started out the season in such a slow start. But as you can see, they're building with each other. They're learning to play with each other. That rhythm is coming back with this team. So I see them. I see the Rockets finishing probably at that fourth seed.
Well, and when we talk about the Rockets, I think one of the reasons why they are trending and moving in the right direction is the bench play. I mean, when you talk about Green and Rivers and Nene, you've got to be able to count on those kind of numbers. You've got to have strong bench production.
You really do. I mean, Gerald Green, he's a shooter, so everybody knows when he gets the ball in his hand, he's going to shoot the ball regardless. And also, you bring in Austin Rivers, a guy who came to the Rockets on a 10-day contract and eventually got a contract, and he performed very well, and he's still performing off the bench very well. So you need that when guys like Fareed is out, guys like Shumpert is out, guys like that to step up every night for you.
Okay, so when we look at this matchup tonight against the 76ers, Embiid, he's been out the last seven games. They're, fourth in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a good matchup tonight.
Yeah, it is going to be a good matchup. I mean, both teams run up and down the court. They give it 110% effort all day. You got to watch where Ben Simmons is at. You know he's not going to shoot from the outside. He's more of a slasher driver, so you got to keep your eyes on him. So this will be an incredible matchup.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, and I tell you what, you don't want to go anywhere because we have got an incredible lineup. NBA news and notes again. Continues. You know what? Mark Medina, the Golden State Warriors beat writer, will be joining us, and Chris Broussard, Fox Sports FS1 NBA analyst. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Alyssa Walker Campbell, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. Before we get underway with our first interview, we always got to pause and recognize the folks that power us at SB Nation. And at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest price. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Well, we are always ready for some NBA news and notes, and it has been a while since we've had our next guest on the program. We are delighted to have with us tonight, that is Chris Broussard, who is a Fox Sports NBA analyst for FS1. He is the hardest working guy in television. Good evening, Chris. Welcome back.
It's great to be back. How are you?
I'm doing great. We've got a lot to take a deep dive on, a lot happening out there in the Western Conference and in L.A. So we've got, about a month left of the regular season. And let's begin with the Lakers because, you know, Chris, it's just been a wild and wacky year, and they have really struggled. They've struggled mightily. And who do you think deserves the most criticism? Is it LeBron? Is it teammates? I mean, can this locker room be salvaged?
That's the big question, right? Look, everybody in the organization deserves some blame. Everybody from the top, Jeannie Buss, for calling all the reports about the Anthony Davis trade fake news when she knows it wasn't fake news, all the way to the lowest man on the totem pole being the LeBron supporting cast. Because if I had to blame two things on the demise of the Lakers this year, I would say it was, one, the injury to LeBron. Because remember, they were the fourth seed in the Western Conference when he got hurt on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. And to a lesser degree, the other injuries. Brandon Ingram's been out for 11 games. Lonzo about 18. Rajon Rondo about 34 games. And I blame the supporting cast because they didn't hold up while LeBron was out. They went 6-11. If they had just been able to play 500 basketball or better, then they might be in the playoffs right now. And so I blame them for that. But then, you know, there's blame for LeBron James. Number one, his defense has been atrocious, especially lately. Number two, he never should have started talking about Anthony Davis.
Oh, yeah.
When he was asked by media about Anthony Davis, he should have been like, look, no comment. You know, I don't talk about other teams' players. He shouldn't have been on interviews talking about how hard he's going to recruit guys, because that makes the people in your locker room think they're not good enough and you don't want them. And then the third thing is there's been too much finger pointing, too much me and them, I and they, you know, instead of we. And so that's where LeBron's blame lies. And then I'd have to look at the front office and Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, because number one, they put together this disjointed roster that lacked shooting. You know LeBron James needs three-point shooters with him. You put together a roster that doesn't have that. And then they let the news about the trade get out. And the leaks were not only coming from New Orleans, like a lot of people think, they were also coming from the Lakers. And the Lakers front office was thinking, look, the last year and a half, we have been criticized because people think we didn't go hard enough after Paul George. We didn't want to trade for him. We just thought we'd get him in free agency, so we didn't aggressively pursue him. Same thing with Kawhi Leonard. So they said, now we're going to let people know we are throwing everything but the kitchen sink at Anthony Davis. We're trying everything we can to get him on our roster. So they let the leaks out that they're willing to trade everybody on the roster except mm-hmm. for LeBron, and that killed the team emotionally and spiritually. So now when LeBron gets healthy and comes back, the other players aren't really fully invested, whether it's the guys, the veterans on one-year deals whose names were in the trade rumors as well, or the young guys whose names were in the trade rumors. So that is really the Lakers season in a nutshell, and that's why it's gone south.
Hey, you're listening to the familiar voice, Chris Broussard, who is a Fox Sports NBA analyst for FS1, working on studio shows First Things First, Undisputed with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, and The Herd with Colin Cowherd. You know, it does. It just seems so dysfunctional, and I reflect back on, you know, Wednesday night, the Lakers coming off that loss against the Nuggets. And unfortunately, I mean, you guys talked about this in your programming, that the Lakers had a new low with Rajon Rondo sitting away from the team in Wednesday night's loss. I mean, what was your reaction when you saw that?
You know, I think that was Rondo basically showing, look, I'm fed up with the circus. This is ridiculous. Like, Rondo is a no-nonsense guy. I don't think that's going to be the cause of anything negative. I think that's just an effect of all the negativity that's already gone on. And it shows how disconnected this team is. It shows the lack of respect that there is for Luke Walton, and mainly Luke Walton as the head coach. And I just think that's what it was. It was a reflection of how dysfunctional the Lakers have been this season. And as a veteran, Rondo's just like, man, look, I'm done with this. This is ridiculous. You know, that's really what it was to me. Mm-hmm. I thought it was also telling, unfortunately, because I'm happy for LeBron. I think, you know, his accomplishment as far as passing Michael Jordan as the fourth leading scorer of all time in NBA history, I think that's a great achievement. And I wish it could have been celebrated more. But when he passed Michael Jordan, you know, the teammates didn't rally around him. They didn't come up to him
right.
And, you know, like, hug him. And he and Rondo shared a hug, but it looked almost half-hearted. Like, it just wasn't the type of celebration that you would expect for such a monumental achievement. And it was unfortunate to see it that way, but that's what has become of the L.A. Lakers.
So LeBron makes history, as you had just mentioned, passing Michael Jordan for fourth all-time scoring leaders. What does this ultimately mean for his legacy?
Well, look, LeBron's legacy is set. He, you know, look, I think he needs to win a championship in L.A. I think If he doesn't win a championship in L.A., those fans in L.A. are really going to be down on him. And it might, you know, put a damper on the end of his career. But his legacy is set as one of the all-time greats, top five player of all time. Personally, I have him second behind Michael Jordan. I think what this achievement says is a few things. One, just how unusual and impressive it is for a player like LeBron to live up to the hype and actually surpass the hype. Because when you look at the top five scorers in NBA history, Kareem, mm-hmm. Abdul-Jabbar, Karl Malone, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, only two of them, Kareem and LeBron, had incredible hype when they were teenagers. And we've seen a lot of people get that type of hype and not live up to it. They're supposed to be the next Michael Jordan, the next Kobe Bryant, the next Dr. J or whoever, next Magic, and they fall short. And so LeBron, with all that pressure, all the things that could go wrong, he actually lived up to the hype that he got when he was 15 years old. So yesterday was just the latest reminder of that. So that's impressive. But I think more impressive than passing Michael Jordan on the scoring list was what he did a couple weeks ago when he became the first player in NBA history to be in the top 10 in assists and top 5 in scoring time. So that shows his versatility and how unique he is as a player. So, but his legacy, you know, this is certainly great. And he's going to pass Kobe. He'll get to at least number two. And then maybe he'll even pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, I was going to say, can he pass Kareem? He's got, what, 6,000 more points. And I guess the big question mark is, Chris, you know, can he continue to stay healthy? Hey, real quick, we're wrapping up our time. Chris Broussard, Fox Sports NBA analyst, FS1, working on the studio shows First Things First, Undisputed with Skip Bayless. We love Skip. And Shannon Sharp and The Herd with Colin Cowherd. And talk to me right now as far as who is that NBA MVP right now? What's your perception?
You know, I've bounced back and forth between James Harden and Giannis Antetokounmpo. So right now, I think Harden's making a strong late push. So I am an official voter. So I'm going to hold out and watch these next few weeks intensely and make my decision. I had Harden up until about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And then I had Giannis. But Harden has been coming on so strong.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to leave it open right now. It's that close. I would like to see Houston keep winning. If they keep winning and can really get to that even third seed in the West, then Harden might wrap it up. Because he is having, as great as Giannis has been, Harden is having more of an impact and more wow moments by far than Giannis is.
Well, we're based here in Houston, so that would make a lot of Rocket fans happy. We got to wrap up our time. Chris Broussard, Fox Sports NBA analyst, FS1, working on studio shows First Things First, Undisputed with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, and The Herd with Colin Cowherd. And Chris did a crossover. He's on Fox Sports Radio, a show titled The Odd Couple with Rob Parker, weeknights at 7 p.m. Man, you are the hardest working guy in radio and TV.
I'm trying to put that bread on the table. You know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Chris, we'll talk to you again real soon during the playoffs. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
You
Bye.
Bet. Much more coming your way right here. Hour one, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, here in hour number one. And before we get underway with our next segment, as a reminder, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, right now, we're going to head to the West Coast, and it's time for a little NBA action with the biggest and the best in the Western Conference, and we're talking about the Warriors. Such a pleasure to have back with us, the writer with the Mercury News, and that is my man, Mark Medina. How are you, Mark?
Alyssa, always good when I get the chance to talk with you.
Well, we are pretty fired up about your big game tonight against the Nuggets, nationally televised, 7:30 Pacific. But kind of talk to us. Let's take us back earlier this week, because head coach Steve Kerr, he voiced his displeasure in the performance of the Warriors against the Celtics. They lost by, what, 33? What's going on?
Yeah, and that's the most lopsided loss of the Steve Kerr era, and certainly of this team. What's going on is the Warriors are obviously going through the dog days of the NBA, but it's not so much that they can just solve it by flipping a switch, because there are actually some practical things that they have to address from now until the playoffs start. The most notable thing is DeMarcus Cousins. They were anticipating, yes, there were going to be some hiccups after he came back from an Achilles injury that sidelined him for most of this past year, but defensively, they've been very compromised, not even just because of his lack of conditioning, but his familiarity with the defensive set, his ability to switch. And that partly explains why they just signed Andrew Bogut. He had been playing in the National Basketball League in Australia a few years after he was with the Warriors for four seasons. So he's not going to have the same kind of role, but he's an insurance policy for the worst-case scenario of DeMarcus Cousins either having some issues with his Achilles or just to have some more reinforcements defensively, because Andrew Bogut is very familiar with the team system. He and Draymond Green have a lot of good chemistry, and but it remains to be seen if that's enough, because on top of that, they also have a lot of young players in the back end of their rotation that you don't quite know what you're going to get on a night-to-night basis. On the other hand, the Warriors have four other All-Stars in Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. They've gone through this rodeo before with knowing that the playoffs are completely different. So you look at the record, they're still the best team in the West, but they still have a pretty extensive to-do list before the end of the season.
Who was Steve Kerr referring to when he was talking about that the Warriors perhaps are, what, playing tired basketball, like they're jogging down the court? Is he talking about DeMarcus? I mean, who is he talking to?
I think he's talking about the entire team, to be honest. I mean, just specifically with the Celtics, they were down 11-0 to open the game, and that's been kind of a pattern. They were down 13-0 to open a game a few weeks ago against the Houston Rockets. It's one thing for the Warriors to kind of go through the motions in regular season games against teams that frankly aren't as good as them, because they know that talent can eventually prevail. Maybe they're just preserving themselves, but you would think in these marquee nationally televised games that might be a playoff preview, that they would that would get their juices flowing a little bit. But they've had some mixed results with that. You may recall, in addition to those two games I just referenced with the Celtics and the Rockets, they didn't seem too energetic to play the Lakers on Christmas Day. They wound up losing that game. They lost two games against Toronto. They lost against the Milwaukee Bucks. But on the other hand, they have also had some signature wins against marquee teams in Milwaukee. They won in Boston. So they're very capable of beating those top teams. But so far, you never know which Warriors team you might get. And maybe you just chalk that up to, well, these games don't matter because it's the regular season. But to Steve Kerr's point and the team's point, they're well aware that it's not just about flipping the switch. They need to build habits the right way so that they feel at their best once the real games start in the playoffs come April.
Hey, Golden State Warriors writer, the Mercury News, Mark Medina with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Hey, Mark, let's pause. Connect with our audience. Where can they check out some of your articles online?
Yeah, we got the Mercury News and East Bay Times website. A pretty good deal going on. If you subscribe to the website, it's only 11 cents a day for 11 months. That's a pretty good deal. So you get everything going on with the Warriors, all Bay Area sports, local news. It's you got to do it.
Okay, so the Warriors, here they are. They're chasing a historic fourth title in 5 years. You had mentioned, you know, time is winding down in terms of the regular season. Do they have enough time before the playoffs to address some of these lingering issues? And you know what? Talking about, they need to flip the switch, right?
I think that they do have enough time, because right now you're talking about a month. But it remains to be seen that they've been talking about this. Now they just have to go out and do this. I still lean that the Warriors will figure these things out because they've won, you know, three championships in the past 4 years. They've won two consecutive titles with the same core players, with these all-stars. And I think that DeMarcus Cousins, he's not going to be a defensive stopper, but I think that he is going to be able to improve his conditioning with each game that he plays. And he's going to provide so much offensively that whatever defensive limitations he has, it's still a net positive. And lastly, Andrew Bogut's not a game changer. He's an insurance policy, a 15th man on a roster spot, but I think that he will help shore up some of the defensive shortcomings and also, you know, add some extra excitement to the Warriors. You know, there was maybe a 2 week stretch that the Warriors showed a lot of good effort, seemed very engaged, when DeMarcus Cousins came back because it was a new thing. They wanted to learn how they can integrate him in the roster. And I think that you'll see something to that effect with Andrew Bogut as well, even if it's a limited minute. So, that and the fact that the talent disparity between the Warriors and the rest of the league is so deep, I still think that they'll win an NBA title, but it shows that the Warriors still have to put in the work to make this happen.
If he were to leave, what kind of impact do you think that this would have on the Warriors? I mean, let's just step back for a moment because, I mean, Mark, I mean, the Warriors, they won titles before he arrived.
They have won titles before he arrived, for sure. So with that being said, it's not like they would suddenly enter a rebuilding stage, but they're no longer the perennial favorite to win a title. You also have to keep in mind that these guys are another year older with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. So the reason why they got Kevin Durant is they felt like it would make a life a lot easier, and if he leaves, it would make a life a lot more difficult. So they would still be in the mix. They would still have a fighter's chance. It all really comes down to what can they do to offset some of those losses. Unfortunately, they don't have a lot of spending power because they're over the cap. They would only have a mid-level exception. So it would hinge on, you know, maybe guys like Rudy Gay or Brooke Lopez to take a little bit of a discount, but they're not going to be getting in on the Kawhi Leonard or Jimmy Butler sweepstakes this summer because they don't have cap space. So that, then it comes down to can they get some decent role players that can build that strength of numbers philosophy. No doubt that they'll be a much different team, but they won't be a lottery team. So they'll, if nothing else, they'll at least be in the mix as one of those Western Conference contenders.
He is simply the best. Mark Medina, check him out online. Golden State Warriors writer with the Mercury News. Of course, we're gearing up. Nuggets Warriors tonight, 7:30 Pacific on ESPN, Oracle Arena. And what? Give me a hit on this quickly. What's going on with the Nuggets this year? Like, they're second in the Western Conference standings.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people were anticipating that. I mean, they just missed the playoffs last year by a game.
Right.
But, you know, it's been a perfect storm where they play at a really good pace. Mike Malone is known to be a very a savvy coach. He's a player's coach where guys like him, but he has kind of that authority in the room, no nonsense. And they have a lot of good young players. Nikola Jokic is a very good player, very good big, one of the best bigs in the game, and very versatile. So it's a good combination. But compared to the Warriors, I still think that the Warriors wouldn't have any problem beating them in a playoff series.
Hey, Mark, thanks for joining us here in Hour 1, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You have fun tonight, okay? Thanks, Mark.
Okay, thank you for having me on, as always.
Hey, stick around. Much more coming your way. We're going to go inside the ropes with former PGA Tour player Larry Miller after this break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour number one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. As promised, it is time to go inside the ropes. We're going to visit with former PGA Tour player and author Larry Miller. But first, we got to take time to recognize the folks that power all of us. And, you know, doing a repair that needs a special tool? Well, listen, O'Reilly Auto Parts, they have all the answers, and they make it so easy with the Loaner Tool Program. Over 80 specialized loaner tools are available, so O'Reilly's is sure to have a tool in stock to help you get the job done. Purchase the needed part and put down a deposit on the loaner tool, then return the tool in the original condition and receive a full refund. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, let's get her done. Let's get inside the ropes and welcome in, always a true pleasure and an honor to have with us tonight, and that is Mr. Larry Miller. Good evening, Larry.
Well, good evening, everybody, and golf's heating up. All the stars are coming out and playing, and they're trying to get ready for Augusta and the majors and the Players' Championship, and so everybody's rounding into form and sets up a really, really exciting next few weeks.
Well, I tell you what, let's reflect on last weekend, the Honda Classic, and a star that was shining so bright is Keith Mitchell, a very strong finish. And it's hard to believe, Larry, I mean, he was ranked 162nd in the world going into that tournament. He steps up, knocks down a 16-footer to win. It was just incredible to watch. And sometimes on our show, we're always talking about these first-time winners, and this was his first career PGA victory.
Yeah, it's getting all too common now where, as we've said before many times, you know, these guys are seasoned veterans, you know, even though they haven't won. They've played on every level and developed, and they've hit the tour. And, I mean, it's gotten to the point where everybody in the field can win. And what it gets down to, count the putts. See how many putts they had for the week. And I guarantee you, generally, 99% of the time, the lowest number of putts is, if he doesn't win, he's in the top two or three. And so whoever has the hot magic wand any particular week gets in the winner's circle. And as I said, pressure doesn't bother these guys because they've been playing in high-level competition for years. And even though he was ranked 162nd, he's still seasoned as far as playing competition and being under the gun.
You know, Keith Mitchell, when we reflect on just his body of work, I mean, he does not have a reputation as far as being clutch and being a fantastic putter. And there he drains, you know, the biggest putt of his life. So as a former tour player, I mean, what's that like when you're in, you were saying, like a pressure situation? What's the mindset? What's going through your mind in order for you to be able to execute not only that shot, but, you know, to drain a big-time putt?
The only way to get through it without the doubt creeping in and the resultant fear, and of course then the tension, the only way to avoid that is to just totally stay in the moment of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about details. I've said this before. The specifics, the very small specific details of your pre-shot routine or your pre-putt routine. If you remain conscious of those things as you're getting ready for the shot, it just doesn't allow time for those doubts to creep in. And, you know, as I said, when the doubts creep in, then the fear gets in there and then the tension. And so the only way to combat it is to really stay, and I'm talking about, you know, I've said before, Scott McCarron told me once that he even tugs his glove same number of times in his routine.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But that's the sort of thing. That's the sort of thing you have to do, because if your mind stays idle for just a few seconds, then you start, thinking of, you start wondering, are there any imperfections in the green between me and the hole? Maybe an insect will crawl and hit the ball. You can't. Crazy things like that.
Right.
Believe me, they crop up in your mind. And if you give them time to creep in, they're going to creep in. And that's the thing about golf. It's five and a half hours in competitive golf now, unfortunately. And that's a lot of time. It's a lot of time to try to keep your mind focused. And you can't let it get idle, because that's when the bad things happen.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us at the next generation of sports radio. That is SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. Join us. Twitter, we're always live, at eRadio Sports, podcastarena.com. You can go back and listen to each and every one of our interviews. And I want to pause and encourage all of you, check out Larry Miller's brand new website, LarryMillerGolf.com. All kinds of great information on there, and you can sign up for some personal one-on-one consultation and lesson with the great Larry Miller. So, Larry, you know, as we recap the Honda Classic, one of the guys that I've been so intrigued with in 2019 is Ricky Fowler. I mean, he just continues to shine. He's looking good, and he had a very strong finish at Sunday's Honda Classic. I mean, he made birdies on 15, 17, and 18 to take a share of the lead with Brooks Koepka. At 8 under, but it was, you know, Keith Mitchell, our guy we were just talking about, he really spoiled those good times when he buried that putt on 18 and that 16-footer to win the event.
Yeah, and Ricky Fowler, you know, if Ricky had played 15 years ago, he would be a superstar.
Yes.
He'd probably have 30 victories by now. And the guy just keeps knocking on the door and being consistent. And you know, it's just so hard now to break through and become one of those superstars. Dustin Johnson has managed to do it since he's got his wedge game dialed in like he does. But you know, and Keith Mitchell, you know, his driving average is over 300 yards. He's just another long hitter. Ricky Fowler, to me, is poised to win a major this year. I think he's going to do it. He's just too good of a player, and he comes too close all the time. And he wants it. And that goes a long way, your intention and how bad you want it. And I think that Ricky has got a great chance. I don't know about Augusta. I don't know if his game fits Augusta that
mm-hmm.
much.
Right.
But I think maybe at the British Open and the PGA are his two best chances to win a major. But yeah, he is right there, poised, ready to do it.
You know, Larry, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but the one thing I really appreciate about Ricky Fowler, I mean, of course, he's such a class act, but he always sticks around to offer congratulations to the winner. I mean, he recognizes that, as you were just talking about, I mean, it's not easy winning on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, well, and Ricky does personify the sportsmanship of mm-hmm. golf and the etiquette, you know, and the fact that it's always been a gentleman's game, and he conducts himself that way. And that's another thing. You know, I'm working on a new book right now, Alyssa.
Exciting.
It's called The 7 Ingredients of Stardom.
Okay.
And it's the recipe for making a champion. And I have observed over the years that there are 7 ingredients that make up a champion, and not just golf, in life, in
okay.
business. These things are common denominators in all the elite performers in the world. Every one of those elite performers possess at least 4 of these ingredients, and some 5, 6, and 7. But you have to have at least 4 of these. I've never seen an elite performer without at least 4. And so character is one of them. One of those ingredients is character.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take a look through history at all the great players, and they all were good people. And generally, I'm speaking when I say character. So that's an ingredient, and Ricky Fowler does personify that, you know, and so do a lot of the young players. You know, a couple of years ago, it started to seem like it was getting to be a cutthroat business on the PGA Tour. But now I've noticed more kindness, and like you said, Ricky congratulating every winner. I've noticed that a lot more, the camaraderie and the kindnesses of the players. And so maybe things are turning around, and maybe that'll help turn around the rest of the world, too.
Larry, what's the difference between, say, a Keith Mitchell, his first career PGA victory, someone like Ricky Fowler, you know, he just won a few weeks back, as far as consistently winning on the tour? What do those players do to separate themselves and to be in the hunt?
I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's called self-belief, which, incidentally, is another one of those 7 ingredients of stardom. Self-belief is built up over time. It's not something that just happens. It develops. And the way it develops is that you keep having successes that follow failures. You're able to persist through failures and end up succeeding. It's like a bounce-back birdie. It's like when you make a double bogey, you birdie the next hole.
Okay.
That's sort of what it's like. And every time that you overcome a failure with a success, that goes into a little account, like a bank account. And that account is called the account of self-belief. And over time, If you persist and do that long enough, you build up a strong self-belief. And all the champions have strong self-beliefs. The also-rans, they haven't gotten there yet. They haven't made enough deposits in that account. They haven't overcome failure with success, enough successes to do that. And that's the difference. It's self-belief.
Hey, we're Inside the Ropes. Larry Miller joins us each and every week right here at the next generation of sports radio, SB Nation Radio. Check out his website, LarryMillerGolf.com. And a player that we've known about for a long, long time that certainly is beating father time and knows all about self-belief, what you're talking about, Larry, is Vijay Singh. And he was in the hunt on the final day to become the oldest winner in PGA Tour history. And I thought he did a mighty fine job of hanging in there. What are your takeaways from what he was able to do?
Well, you know, it's a testament to his fitness routine. He works on flexibility. I've got some videos of him doing things on the beach with a beach ball and exercise balls and stretch bands, and it's amazing. He works really hard on flexibility, and you know, he's got that long, lean, loose body anyway, and so that combined with his work on flexibility has enabled him to have a very long, successful career. And he's going to keep on playing well for a long, long time. Kind of like Mickelson. You know, Mickelson's same way.
Yeah.
He's for a big guy, he's extremely flexible, and he's got that long, fluid swing, and so does Vijay. And those swings tend to last a long time and not get tight or constricted over time.
How concerned are you with Tiger Woods? He is out this weekend and not playing in the Arnold Palmer Invitational with that neck strain. Should we panic, or what do you make of his decision to not play?
No, I just think he's saving himself
for the Masters.
Energy-wise. Yes. Well, for the Masters, maybe the Players.
Players, yes.
And he's doesn't want to overdo it. You know, toward the end of last year, if you remember, going into the Ryder Cup, he was wasted. You know, he was really fatigued. And I think he's being cautious not to invite that to happen, you know, with all these big tournaments coming up. And you know that his real key is on the Masters, because he's won so many times there. The course fits him so well. He knows it so well, and he puts those greens so well. And I think that's his total focus right now is on Augusta.
What are your thoughts on the Arnold Palmer Invitational that is underway right now? Who do you have your eye on? And I also wanted to ask you tonight, Larry, have you ever played Bay Hill?
I have. I have played it. And I can tell you the two dangerous holes are
okay, what is it?
15 and 18. The 15 is that horseshoe par 5 that goes around to the left, kind of like a horseshoe almost.
Okay.
I mean, you could stand on the tee and look over to your left, and you say, it's a par 5, and you say, you know, I can almost drive this green. You know, if you could carry it 350 yards over water, you could knock it on the green and one. But, no, nobody's going to do that in the tournament. But what makes it dangerous is that the way it horseshoes around that lake is that every shot, the tee shot, the second shot, and the third shot, if you don't reach it in two, the long bombers, if they hit a perfect drive, they can get there in two. But a lot of players are going to have to lay it up and then hit a wedge. But all three shots are going to go over the water. And the water is very close by. Not necessarily over the water, but it's really hard on the left. And the slightest pull when you're in the water. Very dangerous hole. You can go back through the tournament in years past and see big numbers on that hole. So it's a dangerous hole. You have to play it with what I call safety first. And,
that's right.
You know, make sure you make five and maybe get a putt at a four. 18 is another matter. 18 is a great finishing hole because it's got that bunker right on the left of the green and water right in front right and in front. And so it's a very daunting second shot to that green. The approach shot, you could say it's fraught with danger, you know, because you're hitting a shot in there that you have to hit perfect. The best way to play it is to play a little cut shot into that green. Kind of aim it at the right edge of that left bunker and cut it into the pin. But if you overcut it, you're in the water, and if you pull it, you're short-sighted in the bunker. So it's a great finishing hole to have in a tournament because a one- or two-shot lead going into that last hole is not safe. And so it's going to make for some drama if it's close down the stretch.
Our PGA News and Notes will continue with Larry Miller after this break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Our number one SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Before we continue our conversation, PGA News and Notes with Larry Miller. You can join us online at Twitter at E Radio Sports. Right now, let's go inside the ropes with Larry Miller. Hey, we're wrapping up our time in hour one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Larry Miller has been with us, of course, joins us each and every week with our Inside the Ropes segment. You were kind of breaking down the course, some of the risk-reward holes, some of the dangerous holes. But, Larry, who do you have your eye on this weekend? I mean, who do you think will prevail?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's almost like, you know, take a dart and throw it at the board, you know, and hit a name.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you always gravitate toward the big names, you know, and the stars. But I don't know, a real tactician on that course, like a Zach Johnson, Ricky Fowler, I would think a Matt Kuchar would have a great chance on that course. It's not really a bomber's course. It's more strategic and more placement. And so, but yet Dustin Johnson has proved that he can win on a strategic shorter course like he did in Mexico. So who knows? You know, it's going to be interesting. All the great players are there, except for Woods, I guess. And it's going to be fun to see, you know, who's really hitting on all cylinders going into Augusta.
Okay, we're wrapping up our time. Give me a quick hit. Arnold Palmer, what comes to your mind when you think of the King?
Class. Just class. That's all I can tell you. I've had several interactions with him, as I talk about in my book.
Yes.
And I can vouch personally that the guy was just nothing but classy.
Oh, we sure miss him. And always a true pleasure to have with us to provide some insight and pull back the curtain inside the ropes. That is Larry Miller at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Enjoy the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And Larry, we look forward to visit. Actually, we will be off next week for spring break. So.